This podcast may contain coarse language. Listener's discretion is advised. Also, this podcast will obviously contain spoilers for Demon Slayer. Please beware. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to the Demon Slayer podcast. I am Felor GTZ, and with me today I have my usual co-hosts, Marion and Sakaki.
Hello, hello, hello.
And here we are with Demon Slayer news.
Yes, today is another news episode. Specifically, most of the news that came out of January, because we're at the end of January, and there was still quite a bit of Demon Slayer news, because Demon Slayer prints money.
Yeah.
Who would have guessed?
I mean, it's also saved Japan. Like, I sound like I'm exaggerating, but I'm not.
Oh yes, and we'll be getting into all of that today. But first, I wanted to start off with a few interesting stories. The first of which is involving Sakaki's mortal enemy.
Yeah, I guess I'll lead into this one, why not? So, Sorachi drew the full roster of Demon Slayer art for the Gintama movie that came out in January. So, jokingly, this is Sorachi we're talking about. He's just like, well, you know, I'll drew illustrations for a good movie, for a movie, I should say, and then he draws Demon Slayer movie pictures, of course, because why would he draw his movie pictures of his own characters? It's dumb. So we got that, and you guys have opinions on that, which I'm really interested in hearing.
They look weird. I don't like
it. They do. Okay, first of all, I look at Gyome there. That is not Gyome. That looks like Gintoki cosplaying as Gyome.
I mean, obviously because of the voice actor being the same, but yeah.
Dude, that Gyome looks like it.
Okay, that makes
Gyome
sense.
Looks like he like fusion danced with Sanami.
Oh, he kind of does. He totally kind
of
does.
But now that I think of it, it's definitely Gintoki in cosplay because they have the same voice.
Yeah,
I didn't know that, or at least I forgot that, so that actually makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, Sugita voices Gyome, and obviously Gintoki. That's what I took it as. I didn't even think that was actually Gyome. I never thought that for a second. I just saw that. I'm like, that's clearly Gintoki. So.
See, so Gintoki is undercover in the Mugen Train movie trying to take everyone down. It's all part of his master plan to make Gintama the final movie, the most successful movie in Japan.
He snuck onto the train to get free parfaits or something, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know Gintoki can't afford a train any other way, so he dressed up as Gyome, and they were like, oh, that's the Demon Slayer guy! And they let him on. That's how he got his ride. That's how he got to ride the train for free.
Yeah, it totally works.
I'm mad at how tall Tanjiro looks, and then, like, Muichiro is just like, I know he's farther away, like, in the camera, but, like, he looks so tiny compared to Tanjiro.
Yeah, he does. Like, I'll say that Sanami, to me, anyway, Sanami and Tanjiro look okay-ish, but, yeah, the rest of them, nah.
I mean, I think for the most part I'm fine with them. I actually like Sorachi's Mitsuri. I think that looks
good.
Not
enough side boob.
Like it's just weird. Like I like Sanami, but it just weirds me out because he looks like I mean, I guess anybody with like lighter hair, they just look another Gintoki. So that kind of weirds me out. But I still like it though. And I mean, Giyu. Giyu's okay, but he looks a little too much like Hijikata from my taste.
Yeah, I see it. Oh god.
Yeah, Sanami is kind of reminding me of Takasugi with white hair.
Yeah, no, okay, that's actually better. Like, he has, like, Gintoki's hair and Takasugi's expression. There you go.
Yeah.
But, something about Rengoku really puts me off, because just...
Yeah, I don't like that!
His face just, like, staring into my soul. And it's just... He looked like, he's danced up. Like, I don't like it. He's, like... Something about... Like, he looks really, like, built in a way that like he does not come off that way in Demon Slayer.
No.
Exactly. He looks way too, like, I don't know what to say. For me, the reason...
A Stone Cold Stunner to the face. Like, that sounds...
There's this, like, uncanny valley to his face in a way. Like, something... It looks fine at face value, but, like, there's something off.
I know what it is. Like, it's because, like, whenever Rengoku smiles, he's, like, smiling really big, either, like, forcing, like, the edges of his lip to, like, stretch even more, or, like, his eyes are wide open. But, like, we got neither of those.
it bugs me because it looks like one of the villains in Gintama that I grew to hate translating every week because he just said the same thing over and over again about how much he hates humanity. I even forgot his name, thank God. It took me still... Not Utsuro. Oh, fuck. What is this guy's name? Ensho. Ensho was the guy, like, I hated him. Every week translating him saying the same thing, I hate everything. It's because you guys and my life sucks. And it's this for several weeks in a row. And it's just like, I don't want to get into it now because I can get into all the reasons why I don't like him. And it'll turn into a Gintama podcast episode. And then Colton will probably find me and kill me.
I think he's already going to find us and kill us.
Okay. But I mean, we're shitting on it, but we're shitting on it out of love.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's a cool thing to do. I mean,
yeah,
it's and a it's nice little collaboration type thing.
Yeah, and I mean, it's totally Sorachi's sense of humor because, like, I remember him at some point saying he's going to draw like pictures for the movie, but he never specified which one. And this is definitely a Sorachi move.
So, yeah, no, I applaud the concept.
Yeah,
yeah,
I like that. I just don't like the actual word. Sorry.
It's and one thing that I noticed is, like, you know, the kanji for Hashira has samurai instead, and so I kind of dig that too. Like, it says, like, basically the samurai's last fight begins, although we're not going to participate in it. It took me a minute to get that Hopo Shankai. Sanjo shite nai kedo. Yeah, so it's just like, you know, the samurai. I mean, it's just basically Sorachi. He's advertising the Gintama movie using Demon Slayer, which just reminds me of, like, during the last few chapters of Gintama, he, like, used fan art of, like, Ryoma from Prince of Tennis as a color page for the Gintama chapter. Like, Gintama, they were doing a parody of Prince of Tennis, like, on, I believe, the final chapter of the final chapter of Gintama in Jump. They were doing like a Prince of Tennis parody, and then he uses a sketch of Ryoma as a color page. So, like, it's just Sorachi's just as much as if you're listening, Colton, I will always respect the gorilla. May not respect his work, but he himself, he's one of a kind. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I mess with Sorachi. Yeah, you know what, like, for some reason, when you were talking about, like, the parodies and stuff, I can never, like, not think about in the anime, I don't know if this was in the manga, but the Dragon Bleep piece.
No, that was anime exclusive, but yes, that was great.
That's in the spirit of exactly what I expect.
I mean, he drew, like, a color page for the final chapters where everybody was drawn in the Dragon Ball style, and he did a really good job with that, so I'm like... What happened here, though? I guess it's easy for him to mock Toriyama and not so much Gotoke, which just proves how much Gotoke his artwork cannot be replicated.
Gotoke is just too powerful. But Sorachi wasn't the only Jump artist to dabble in some Demon Slayer-related artwork, because Keishu Ando, the author of Hentai Kamen, the old school 90s Shonen Jump manga, posted on their Twitter a picture of the main character of Hentai Kamen with basically Tanjiro's robes in panty form their face. And, like, it has two dialogue bubbles here, and it, like, translates to, like, what's with these panties? It's so easy to do total concentration breathing. We found the secret of total concentration breathing. It's wearing Demon Slayer related panties.
Of course. I would have expected no less. Yeah, I saw that one as it came out too, and it's just it's amazing.
Yeah, same. Because I follow like Ando on Twitter, even though I haven't actually read that much of Hentai Kamen. But yeah, he draws some humorous stuff.
Yeah, I know him from Blue Blazes because I saw the live action for that.
Oh, nice.
Huh.
That's another thing I have to check out.
Oh, Ami Hono. Okay, yes, yes, and I should know that. I'm just like, wait, why does that sound familiar to me? Yes, it's a Sunday thing.
Yeah, that's a Shogi series, too.
It is. It's in Gesson, which is admittedly not one of not one of the magazines I'm super familiar with, but I'm going to have to fix that.
Yeah, I mean, his previous series, Blazing Transfer Student, was in Sunday, though.
Yes, it was. That I do.
But yeah, moving away from interest pieces, though, we're diving into some manga-related news here. And our first piece of news is more US-related, actually. And it's that in the course of 2020, three Demon Slayer volumes ranked in the top 20 manga of the year. Specifically, Demon Slayer Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3... And wait, actually volume 7 as well. So 4. So yeah, 4 volumes. That last one snuck up on me. It was hiding behind Promised Neverland.
Yeah, to be fair, like, My Hero has, like, dominated, like, US graphic novel charts for, like, years now. Ever since the anime first started. Like, I always see them on the New York Times bestseller list.
Yeah, like, I look at the NPD book scan every month. And, like, you always see My Hero on there, Junji Ito, and then a little bit of Demon Slayer, too. Like, every, I think, Demon Slayer volume at this point, when it comes out, it ends up ranking on there, and then Volume 1 is, like, a consistent frontrunner on the list, too. Yeah. So people are getting hooked on Demon Slayer, and it's not just within manga, it's within the entire graphic novel space as well, because on NPD Bookscan's top 20 adult graphic novels for 2020, Demon Slayer Volume 1 and Volume 2 were both on the list. Volume 1 was number 4, and Volume 2 was number 13. And it beat out some pretty big, like, American comics out there, like the Watchmen 2019 edition, March, which is another really big one, Strange Planet. So yeah, it's very well deserved.
Yeah, it's good to see, like, another manga besides MHA from Jump make it there, because, like, yeah, as we've been saying, like, it's mainly that, although I am proud of my girl Komi.
Yeah, like, Komi does extremely well for Viz.
Yeah.
Like, I think when we were looking at sales from, I believe, either 2019 or early 2020, like, Komi was outselling, like, basically all the manga from other publishers outside of Viz. Like, it does extremely well.
And keep in mind, there was, like, a huge track time between when it got picked up and when, because Scanlations are pretty much, like, neck and neck. The magazine releases under Scanlation maybe out an hour or two after that. So people were buying it despite Scanlations being, like, there, which says a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think Viz has done a very good job of, for one, promoting it. And also, it's one of those series that has, like, just a lot of kind of presence from osmosis of all the jokes and memes about Komi.
Yeah.
So when people see it in, like, a bookstore or really anywhere, they're like, oh, hey, I've seen this before. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. But yeah, it is good to see, like, that. Because I've always, like, we hear about Demon Slayer's success, like, when it comes to U.S. stuff, basically, you hear people talk about the anime and how great it is, but I've always wondered, like, how the manga does here, so this is always nice to see that appeal is actually as worldwide as many people say it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. And I know the NPD book scan for January 2021 should be out, like, in a few weeks or so. So in our next news-focused episode, we can cover that as well. Because I'm sure Demon Slayer is going to be on there at least, like, a few times.
Yeah, hopefully more volumes can show up. Now that, like, we're pretty close to the, you know, the actual, like, final volume, like, closing in on the official English release, too.
Yeah, I believe the final volume is supposed to drop in August at this rate.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
So, yeah, we're getting very close.
I wonder if we're going to start getting, like, I wonder what's next then at that point. Will we start getting a novel? At this point, it would be really ridiculous for them not to get the novels and fan books and stuff.
I have a feeling we probably will. I think we're definitely probably going to get the Ryuji Hirano side story collection, and then maybe the one shot collection.
Yeah, I was just about to say like that should at least come out. Like, I don't know what the thought is in getting novels. Obviously, series that, like, really big series like One Piece and Bleach have had theirs and Naruto as well. But, I mean, Demon Slayer pretty much eclipses all of them now. So.
Yeah, I mean, I believe they recently started releasing one of the MHA novels.
Oh.
So I feel like Demon Slayer would also be on that bucket just because it's selling not as well as MHA, but it's selling pretty close.
Yeah, I feel like after the volume 23 comes out, then we might get an announcement for the novels, because then I don't know, I feel like it they might I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of like the Naruto situation.
I feel it's right
after the series ended.
Yeah, it's like it kind of keeps that hype alive a little bit longer, so I get that. And like with other series obviously that are like still going because they're still being released, there's that thing where it's like, okay, you know, we're not wanting for more material, really. But then you have Demon Slayer, which after the final volume comes out, unless they're going to do all this extra stuff, then it's done. Besides, of course, the movie's coming out, but that's not really in Viz's umbrella of things. So you would think they would want more stuff to release of Demon Slayer to keep that hype going.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, too, like, I feel like Viz's release schedule up through August is fairly locked in at this point.
Mm.
Usually by this point, I don't think they stealth drop new physical releases, because then that'd be a pain for retailers. So I'd say if we're gonna get the novels and side story manga at this point, it'll be somewhere either end of 2021 or early 2022.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That sounds right.
But moving into Japanese manga sales, Oricon reported that Demon Slayer is the first manga series to have 3 5-million selling volumes.
God damn it.
God.
Specifically, we have volume 1 here, which has sold 5,029,000 copies. Volume 7, which has sold 5,009,000 copies. And volume 8, which has sold 5,030,000 copies. And obviously, volume 7 and 8 contain the Mugen Train story. So it kind of makes sense.
Whoa! I mean, like, somebody just picked up volume 1 and like, well, that was fun. Now I want to see the events based on the real story that the movie's based on.
Let's see how good this movie really is.
I mean, I think like people watch the movie and are like, huh, I wonder how the manga was for this.
Yeah, definitely.
So they pick up that, and then there are obviously people that are still getting into Demon Slayer, which are picking up volume 1.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. It's just weird to think about that. Just those specific, I mean, well, one aside, those specific volume, even though I get it makes sense too for people just wanting to do that comparison. You know, from what we've heard, the movie is well, I don't want to say one-to-one because obviously we haven't seen it yet, but it sounds like it's pretty close. There's not a whole lot of, you know, deviance from between the adaption and the original.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely sounds like the case. Like, I'm sure UFO Table took some liberties here and there, but it sounds like it's, for the most part, very faithful, if maybe a bit more dynamic to make the animation look cooler.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but that's a really cool milestone for Demon Slayer, and I'm sure we're only going to see it continue to sell millions of copies. But in terms of the larger book sales in Japan, general book sales in Japan are up 5% since 2019. And Demon Slayer is cited as one of the big reasons for that. With
saving the economy.
Yes. So according to the Publishing Science Institute, which conducts research and surveys about the publishing industry, they cited that in 2020, the total sales of paper and digital editions was 1.6 trillion yen, which equates to about 15.59 billion US dollars, which, yeah, if you can't tell, is a lot of money. And specifically, if you look at the breakdown here, up to around 28% of that is accounted for as digital sales, which would be around like 393 billion yen. 24% of the total publishing market, and that's also exceeding 20% for the first time ever. So you can tell, like, yeah, digital has become a very big part of book sales in Japan. I mean, digital is just convenient. And when you look at that specifically for manga, that has increased like to 32%, which is around 342 billion yen or 3.29 billion US dollars. So yeah, a lot of money. And Demon Slayer, of course, is currently at 120 million copies sold. So like, obviously a lot of that money is coming from just Demon Slayer like selling like crazy. And Demon Slayer's not only doing well in comics, it's also boosting the sales of novels and magazines and supplementary materials that are associated with it. Because people see Demon Slayer and then they throw their money at it.
Total financial breathing. It's crazy to think about, like, just... It's no longer just, like, a manga anymore. It's like, a cultural phenomenon. And we're just in the middle of a Demon Slayer world right now. Like, whenever the movie comes here, because, like, there's already a bunch of hype for that overseas. Because I've even seen a couple reports of just, like, tickets selling out in other countries, so...
Guys, we've done it. We've reached Dragon Ball levels.
You know what? I would actually be at this point that whenever this does calm down, if it does ever, because look at Dragon Ball, that just, it sleeps for a couple of like years and it wakes back up. But like, I could see Demon Slayer being this age's Dragon Ball at this point.
Man, I can't wait for Demon Slayer Super, guys.
I can't wait. Oh my God. I can't wait for fucking, I can't wait for Gyu versus... Freaking shit. I gotta make some crap up. Gyu versus Shadow Yushiro is selling out in a bar in Mexico.
God, what?
Yeah, like.
Oh, you didn't know about the Dragon Ball Super? Like, they were, like, putting it up in bars?
No, I knew that, but, like, Shadow. Yushiro?
Yeah, yeah. He avoids the sun by like blending with shadows. Yeah, I mean,
what?
I don't know. Okay, though. No, that's just the most shooty, edgy shit. I love it. he's like Demon Slayer noob Cybot, and I love it.
That's exactly what I was thinking about. Noob Cybot from Mortal Kombat. Yes. Oh my God! Instead of that, he throws like easels from because like, he's a painter now.
Oh my God!
Oh God! But moving away from manga now. We have some interesting pieces of anime news here. The first of which involves television broadcasts. And it's that Kansai TV was brought back from the red thanks to rebroadcasts of the Demon Slayer TV anime.
Demon Slayer saving TV now too. Holy shit.
Yeah, so several like TV stations had done rebroadcasts of Demon Slayer in late October. Obviously to coincide with Mugen Train. And yeah, it recorded like incredibly high viewership for like 8 weeks in like many areas, including like Fuji TV in the east and Kansai TV in the west. And Kansai TV had been in a slump for like about two quarters of 2020 and posting operating losses for about 6 months. According to the president of Kansai TV, Demon Slayer and the strong sales of their own local spots revenue was ahead of the same time period for the previous year and was incredibly profitable, and that these figures have shown the value of television.
That sounds like some fucking Blaze Blue like intro shit. The value of television has been reaffirmed.
Which, I mean, has it really been reaffirmed, or is it just that Demon Slayer's keeping things alive?
The wheel of time is moving. Like, you know, that kind of shit.
Action. Yes. But yeah, as V-Lord said, all this just confirms is that Demon Slayer good.
Yeah, basically.
I'm just, I mean, he's got to say something. He can't just be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're just staying alive because of demons. Yeah,
nobody's gonna. I mean, it's just like it's the kind of thing that they do in shonen manga where they're like giving a color page to something that's not selling and saying it's selling to great popularity. It's the same. It's the same kind of like concept here. You're not gonna say that. Well, we were dying with Demon Slayer. We saw the light, and Demon Slayer saved us. We gotta just say, nah, man. You know, Demon Slayer helped a little, I guess. But TV's always been good, and it'll be good after there's no more Demon Slayer.
You know what this article is? It's basically Kansai TV was trying to hold the milk by itself, and then Demon Slayer was like, "No, we can hold it together with the power of friendship."
Oh my god!
I hope you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, yes. This I mean, basically, Kansai TV was gonna. It is just the equivalent of just like you know. They were almost at the point where they were going to have to say, well, you'll have to, thanks for watching Kansai TV. Please look forward to Sensei's next work. But Demon Slayer stopped that from happening.
But Demon Slayer is not only making waves on television still, it's also still making waves in the music industry because Lisa's theme for Demon Slayer Mugen Train, Homura, which is amazing and everyone should listen to, has been certified platinum.
Good.
Specifically, the single disc release of Homura has sold more than 250,000 CD copies. So by the Recording Industry Association of Japan, it is now essentially been kind of made platinum, which is a very huge accomplishment for any piece of music. So it's kind of insane that Homura, of all things, has done it.
I like the tidbit of info that, like, after the 11th week at number one, it actually surpassed Kenshi Yonezu's single as the record for the longest running number one. Kenshi Yonezu, he did the second My Hero opening. And he's also like,
yes.
He's a really popular pop singer.
Yeah, it just goes to show, not only is Lisa incredibly talented, that cannot be understated, but people are really jiving with Homura. And I mean, it's a very emotional song, even out of the context of Demon Slayer. Like, if you just listen to it alone, it will definitely well up some emotions.
I still have not listened to it.
I also forgot to listen to it.
You guys are just disappointing me. Why am I friends with you?
I mean, you can do this podcast all yourself. We're fine. I'm fine with that. Let me speak for myself. No, I just...
V-Lord goes into the void of loneliness.
I mean, I said this to both of you all off mic, but I mean, I just want to experience when the movie comes out. I mean, I know I could easily go listen to it, and it probably will be amazing, and I'm not doubting that, but I want to listen to it as it's playing at the end of the movie. That's what I'm waiting to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, at the end of the movie, it'll probably hit the hardest anyways.
Yeah, I want that to be my first time, not going in, I already heard this song or whatever, but yeah, that's my reasoning.
But speaking of going to see the movie, in our last episode, we mentioned how, Demon Slayer Mugen Train is now the highest grossing film in Japan. But now it's also the most attended film of all time in Japan. So, as of January 4th, Mugen Train has sold 25.48 million tickets. Which, that's a ton of tickets and it's the most ever in Japan. So, yeah. Demon Slayer is still doing extremely well.
The D in Demon Slayer stands for domination.
We're being invaded by the demons. We can't stop them.
No, this was Mugen's plan. Muzan's plan all this whole time. It's like, this was Mugen's I'm just gonna. Oh god! I can't believe I made that slip up, but it's just I got Mugen Train on the mind.
Mugen from Samurai decided to be a samurai after watching Demon Slayer, the movie.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I'm inspired to be a samurai after watching. No, but the most attended film. I mean, of all time, and I feel like this can't be understated. We're not talking about just to make sure, this is like of all movies, not just anime movies. Just so
movies.
Okay. Just so, I mean, I'm clarifying for everybody listening at home. We're not talking about, it's the biggest anime movie in all time in Japan. It's the biggest movie, period. So that cannot be understated.
Frozen is chump change compared to this. Titanic, get out of here.
Fuck James
Cameron. I mean, Spirit Away got spirited away. Just all of it. Nothing can stand in the wake that is the crater where Demon Slayer stands when it landed. All life just died around it, and it's just still there. Its power's aura growing stronger instead of weaker each day. That's what this is.
Demon Slayer was the comet that wiped out the dinosaurs. By dinosaurs, I mean old movies.
Yeah, there's Demon Slayer, and then there's everything else at this point. That's
we live in a post-Demon Slayer world.
Exactly.
The post-Demon Slayer economy.
Yes.
God.
We also got like a sales update for Demon Slayer on January 25th. Specifically, Mugen Train has now made over 36.5 billion yen over the course of 100 days in the Japanese box office. So yeah, it's beaten the record of Spirited Away, and it just keeps going. It's not stopping at all.
It's so funny how, like, for 1 week, the week that the Gintama movie came out, it was dethroned, and then it took it right back the week after.
Yeah, and even, like, now that Japan's still in a state of emergency, like, it's still doing well. Like, everything needs to be, like, finished in the day by 8 p.m. in Japan. Like, they can't show showings, like, late at night. But people are still going to this movie during the day and stuff.
Hey, you got that Demon Slayer matinee? Yeah.
Yeah, let's do this. Like, God, it just won't stop. I am actually really just interested at this point. Will it just continue? We're going to have, like, a your name situation where it's just... And even it's trumped that at this point, so that's not even a good comparison. There is no good comparison because it's just on top.
Your Name had usurped Spirited Away at one point. Then Spirited Away had like basically a return to theaters, and then it reabsurped Your Name.
I'm just thinking about that, just Ghibli being like, wait, what? What surpassed us? Oh, hell no. Put that shit back in theaters right now.
Ghibli had the salty run back. That's so funny.
The thing is, too, though, I feel like the gap between Your Name and Spirited Away, I might be off on this, I feel it was a lot smaller than what's going on with Demon Slayer and Spirited Away. Because, like, I feel as Demon Slayer continues to grow, I don't think that gap will be able to be filled just by a limited run of Spirited Away.
Nah, probably not, but... I mean, just the idea of them having an angry run back. But at this point, no, that Demon Slayer is like, you know, it's sprinted too far ahead. You can't even see it anymore.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because as our next story tells us, the Japanese box office has posted its lowest revenue in 20 years in 2020. And it's specifically down in admissions by 54.5%. since 2019, and that is pretty bad.
It almost sounds like Demon Slayer was the only movie that they showed in theaters last year.
Maybe, because a fourth of the sales from last year, which were in total 143.285 billion yen, roughly 1.38 billion US dollars, a fourth of that came from Demon Slayer Mugen Train, because Demon Slayer Mugen Train, like we said, did 36.55 billion. So Demon Slayer's kind of keeping things afloat once again. Because, like, the next movie below that was From Today It's My Turn, the movie, which did 5.37 billion.
Is that Kyokara Orewa?
Yeah, it's Kyokara Orewa, yeah.
Is it Kyokara Orewa?
That's fucking that's, let's go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, that is it. Yeah. Yep, that is it. I think, I don't remember if, I'll have to look up the tweet, but I know I reported on, you know, how well the movie was doing on WSS-TV. Yep, that's it.
Shout out to Shaggy.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it is Kyokara.
Yes. I mean, that did so well that they're adapting Nishimori's other work for a live-action drama, because it's, yeah, that did super-duper well. And in the Demon Slayer world, I mean... That's something that's pretty great to behold. Because, I mean, the gap between the two, between number one and number two.
Guys, how long do you think it'll take for, like a live-action Demon Slayer on the level of, like, the Kenshin movies?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I think it won't be very long until we see something like that.
Yeah, no.
I hope so. There's a lot of potential there.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And they also give like foreign film sales here too, for what released in Japan in 2020. And even The Rise of the Skywalker only did 7.32 billion yen.
I'm fucking mad that Cats is like ranked.
Yeah, I was about to. Why is Cats there? I mean,
it's pretty low. It's only 1.35 billion. That's only. That's, not a
that's
lot.
The only. That's too much. That's not. That's too much. Like,
okay, when you think about how much money was wasted on that movie, though,
like, I'm glad you said it that way. Thank you.
Like, I actually saw that movie for lols. It's so freaking bad. Like, okay, I looked it up just to make sure. It had a budget of between 80 to 100 million. And its total box office has only been 75.5 million.
Good.
So Cats was actually an expensive movie to make, and it was just terribly done.
Good. That'll help me sleep tonight, knowing that there is justice in this world.
But before we sleep tonight, we actually have some U.S.-related news about Mugen Train. And that is that Aniplex, when they release Mugen Train in theaters in North America in early 2021, it will also be alongside the English dub. Both the English dub and the sub version will release at the same time.
Nice.
Nice.
And they gave like a little trailer here too with like the dub voices. It's one of the older Japanese trailers, just kind of dubbed over. And yeah, it sounds good. Like, they didn't announce like who Akaza is in the movie, so we don't know that yet. And we already knew who like Enmu and like Rengoku and stuff were. So not much news on that front, but hey, it's good to hear that, yeah, the dub seems to be done.
Nice.
I'm looking at the trailer.
Yeah, hoping we'll get a date soon, even though at the same time I'm also kinda like, is this the time we really want to have that in theaters? I mean, I don't know. Part of me is like, I want to see this now, but another part of me is like, maybe it's not the best idea.
I mean, it's like interesting because like they did put up that placeholder listing on AMC for a February release date. But I do wonder if like maybe they had initially planned it to be early 2021, but with how the vaccine hasn't been widespread yet, like they don't want to like necessarily risk doing it now when like very few people will be able to actually see it.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like it'll might be like summer 2021.
Yeah.
And they'll just kind of go then.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's not as if they're hurting for money. So, like, I mean, obviously, yeah, there are costs in dubbing it and distributing it, and obviously, those are things we'd have to take on. But, well, not we, but you know, the Aniplex side of things. But yeah, I've heard some people calling for them to just send it to streaming right away, which I doubt that'll happen. But I mean, yeah.
That is definitely not going to happen. Yeah. Like, they are not going to release it on streaming before it's on home video in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely not going to happen. But, like, even if it were on home video in Japan, do you think that they would, like, let's say a situation was going on and then the home video was already out in Japan, do you think they would just throw it straight on streaming without bothering with theaters? Or do you think it's a thing where they're just like, nah, you do a theatrical run anyway?
I think they would still do the theatrical run at that point, but they'd probably also do a, like, maybe, like, a one-day, two-day online screening as well. But that also depends if, like, say, Aniplex Japan will actually play ball with that. Because they are generally pretty strict with how they distribute their movies. Like, most of them aren't even streaming, so...
Yeah.
That is not exactly a very accessible thing.
Looking at Heaven's Feel.
Yeah, look at Heaven's Feel. Look at the Kizu films, which took, like, years to show up on streaming.
Even then, it's on Amazon, right?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. You have to, like, either buy it or rent it from there.
Man, Aniplex.
I guess I'll do that eventually, shit. I only saw the first one because I had really bad luck getting tickets for the second and third ones.
Yeah, like, the second and third ones never showed in Minnesota, and I wasn't into Monogatari at the time either, so I don't think I would have watched it, most likely.
I was really sad. I caught the first one, and I freaking loved it. I was waiting years for that.
Oh, yeah, because I have watched them all now, and, like, God, Kizu 2 and 3 are just, like, masterpieces. I love them so much. But yeah, hopefully, like, Mugen Train does show up sooner rather than later. Granted, in a safe environment. I do not want to have to watch this movie when COVID is still very active. That would not be fun.
Yeah,
I'm probably going to be vaccinated by the time it comes out.
I mean, hopefully same with me too. So, yeah, let's just hope for the best and hope that this movie gets a safe and accessible release.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm hoping I'll be able to see. I don't know whether I'll be vaccinated or not because I'm sadly very healthy and physically, mentally not so much. But yeah, I mean, I do hope that there's a way for people to see this thing safely. And of course, I do also hope that when it does come out for home video, then we get those, like, I don't want to call them bargain bin, but I do hope we get one of those, like, cheaper sets for it. Because for those guys, for people who just want the movie and not, like, a life-size Tanjiro figure to come along with it.
Yeah, I mean, considering Funimation did their own standard edition for Demon Slayer for the TV series, I am hoping that the movie will get similar treatment.
And around the same... I mean, well, I know it was like there was a bit of a delay between like the limited edition and Funimation's, which, fine, hey, I understand how the game is played. But, because, yeah, yeah, likely both came out at the same time and you're just like, I want to watch Demon Slayer, you're probably going to reach for a cheaper option first. But for those people who can't wait, they'll probably just snap up whatever is out first. And yeah, so I don't see them releasing them at the same time, but I hope that if there is a delay that it's not too long.
Yeah, I mean, I think the delay is still going to happen, but hopefully maybe it's on like a month to 2 months. Something fairly short.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to.
Yeah, but yeah, that wraps up our news for this episode. So yeah, I mean, we had some pretty eventful pieces. Demon Slayer has broken many milestones in 2020, and it looks like 2021 is also off to a fairly good start for the series too. So I'm interested to see how the series continues to grow throughout the year.
I'm really looking forward to being able for us to do an episode about what we thought of the movie. That's my biggest thing, but hopefully soon.
Yes, indeed. But for now, we should wrap up here. So, Marion, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at Microwavy, the E before the V. I also have a card, microwavy.card.co, where it has links to all my other projects. I write for Toonami Faithful, WSS TV, my own personal blog, Heaven's Doorknob. WordPress.com, and I also co-host some other podcasts like Good Friends Anime Club. That's at Good Friends Cast on Twitter. Haiku Pod on Twitter. Sometimes I guest on the MHA Pod as well. All my stuff is on my Twitter. Check that out, please.
Awesome. And Sakaki, where can people find you?
Yes, you can find me at Kirobon, KIIROBON on Twitter. That's my personal Twitter. For show, I also run at WSS Talkback on Twitter as well, where you can find all kinds of neat notes and news and other anecdotes about Shonen Sunday. So we're continuing on our strive to make it so people know that there are things in the magazine besides Detective Conan and whatever Rumiko Takahashi is working on. There's also wsstalkback.blogspot.com, where we have translations of interviews, reviews of Shonen Manga, Shonen Sunday Manga, which Marion, as Marion said, they write for us there. And we're always looking for more people. You know, you can, whether it's a Shonen Sunday series running right now or a Shonen Sunday series that ran years ago that you're passionate about, please come by all means. Let us know. Or if you have news from other parts of the world about Shonen Sunday Manga or Shogakukan manga in general, we would love to hear from you. And we actually have what seems to be a French correspondent now, so which is really kind of exciting because there's a lot of stuff going on there that I had no idea of. Besides that, I too write for Toonami Faithful. The Twitter handle is escaping me right now, and it's really bad. But I'm on a Dragon Ball podcast with Colton, or Sniper King, which is called Another Day, Another Adventure, where we're going to, if Goku has been in it, we're probably going to cover it at some point. So all of the animated Dragon Ball. And that started coming out, and that's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, and besides that, yeah, that's me. You know, definitely come and have a look-see if you're interested.
Yeah, and I believe the Twitter handle for Another Day, Another Adventure is Another DB Pod.
Nice. Thanks for saving me, Lord. I'm doing finger guns right now.
Anytime. But yes, definitely follow both Sakaki and Marion. They're both awesome people and they do amazing work. But if you're interested in what I do, you can follow me on Twitter at VLordGTZ. And then I also write various manga and light novel reviews for all-comic.com and also occasional editorial pieces for TanamiFaithful.com. And then in terms of podcasts, I also host the Oversoul Shaman King podcast with both Marion and Sakaki.
We both forgot about that.
Just kidding.
Oh, that's an even better save. I'm going to shut up now. Yo.
But yes, you can follow Oversoul Shaman King podcast on Twitter at Shaman King Pod. And then I also have a general anime and manga podcast called the Dumb Weebs Podcast, which is on Twitter at Dumb Weebs Pod. I'm also quite often on the Tanami Faithful podcast, and Marion and Sakaki were also on a recent episode of it, specifically about Assassination Classroom.
Yo, that was so much fun.
It was a ton of fun. And you can find the Tanami Faithful podcast on Twitter at Tanami Podcast. But as far as the Demon Slayer podcast goes, you can find us on Twitter at DSlayer Podcast, on Facebook at facebook.com/DemonSlayerPodcast, and on the Tanami Faithful website itself at TanamiFaithful.com/DemonSlayerPodcast. And the podcast is on basically every podcast platform at this point. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, you name it, we're there. So whatever you feel like listening to your podcast on, just look us up, subscribe, listen, and enjoy. But that does it for this episode, so we will see you guys later.
See ya!
Oh, I thought Marion was good. I was waiting for Marion.
I was trying to come up with something and I couldn't.
I'm gonna save myself and say I was putting on my Demon Slayer bling and it was just taking a little longer than I thought.
Sorry, right, guys. I was trying a better poster than Sir.
Oh god.
Keep that in, please.